Coming up on Blue Dot, we talked to up-and-coming science communicators from YouTube and beyond. We reached out to them to become future correspondents on Blue Dot. Meet them next. It's all new and all blue. Join us. Welcome to Blue Dot, a look at our place in space. I'm Dave Shlom. I'm always searching out science communicators, people with science backgrounds that decided research careers just weren't their thing. What to do with that science degree? Share your love of science with others. So let's meet three of them. In this episode, we'll talk to three YouTube content providers: Jacqueline Duff, producer of the SciJoy channel, Jade Tan Holmes, producer of Up and Atom, and the roving naturalist, Cheryl Hostler. Let's start with my conversation with Jacqueline Duff. Her channel SciJoy really does put every letter in STEAM: science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. Her video channel has all of those. She joins us via Skype. Jacqueline, welcome to Blue Dot.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to first start with your origins. How did you get interested in science in the first place? What was the spark for you that got you going?
In second grade, we learned about space, and they told me how big Earth was, and then they told me how many Earths fit inside the sun. And then my parents got me a book, and they showed me that the sun was just like a speck compared to like giant stars like Betelgeuse. And that's when I knew that that was going to be what I wanted to learn about for the rest of my life.
And was there a special teacher like in second grade along the way that really, as you went along, fostered that interest? Because a lot of times, especially with girls, they get discouraged from their interest in science. How was it for you?
There wasn't really a teacher in elementary or middle school, but I had some good science teachers in both high school and then in college. I think one of my favorite teachers in college was Dr. Fleck, and he liked to say we were doing science among friends, and he would say pi is a number anywhere between 1 and 10 as long as we're trying to figure out what the concept was.
Hmm. And where did you go to school?
I went to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University down in Daytona Beach.
Ah. And when did you first get interested in your specific content areas in space science and robotics?
I joined the NASA Speakers Bureau when I was working down at Kennedy Space Center, and I really enjoyed the impact that that had. And we were going around to local community events, and just going there for an hour really made an impact. And then I got to be a part of FIRST Robotics and learn how to teach kids about both space and robotics. And that's probably where it began, the outreach part.
Okay, you mentioned you worked at the Kennedy Space Center. And for me, a formative experience of my life was when I was 7 years old in 1967, visiting that place and thinking, wow, this is just the most amazing place in the world. When did you first go to work there? How did you arrive there?
I started there in 2007 as a co-op, and the job I applied to just said orbiter processing, and I had no idea what that meant. But I was excited because it was at Kennedy, and the job actually meant that I got to do the electrical components inside of the actual orbiters. So that was absolutely thrilling to me that I got to be inside of spacecraft every day. And I also went to Kennedy Space Center when I was younger, and I have like a Mickey Mouse shirt on some pictures, and you can see that I'm way more excited at Kennedy Space Center than I was at Disneyland. So I think that kind of told my parents something.
And when you say orbiters for our audience, that's the space shuttle.
Yes, correct. That's this part of the space shuttle with the wings is usually how I explain it to elementary school kids and middle schoolers and those not familiar with the different components.
Yeah, because a lot of times, especially kids nowadays, they conflate any kind of rocket, Apollo, whatever, it's all the shuttle.
Yeah.
So tell me about how you went from that to becoming interested in what you're doing as a science communicator.
When I was working with the NASA Speakers Bureau, one of the things that I got to do was talk to a group of about 15 high school women, and they didn't really have any interest in engineering, and we gave a talk for about an hour, and then five of them thought maybe that was something they could do. And I thought it would be great to broaden that impact beyond where I could just drive to. And that's why I kind of got interested in doing more of the YouTube thing, because I was also going to libraries and community events. But there's only so far you can make that impact go if you have to drive and be present for each of the events.
And when did you first start doing YouTube videos?
I think that was in the beginning of 2013, was probably when we first started putting in some videos out.
And tell me about your content. Tell me about the SciJoy channel.
We try and do more hands-on science and engineering content. A lot of the times when I was going out to do STEM outreach, my favorite thing was to have somebody that didn't really have a lot of confidence in what they were doing or their abilities in science and engineering. And then you give them a hands-on project, like an egg drop. So you have them try to build a container around an egg and then have them drop it off a ladder. And a lot of them didn't think that they were going to be able to do that. And then when their egg survives, you just see this like spark in their eye. And they actually start to believe that they're smart enough and they have the abilities to do either science or engineering. So that's what we try and do more on our channel, is what things can you do, whether it's being like a storm spotter or a citizen scientist or working with Arduinos, which are microcontrollers for hobbyists, electronics. So that's the kind of content we're trying to produce.
Making YouTube videos, they might seem really easy or very difficult. What are some things that you think people might have as misconceptions about what goes into making one of these videos?
I think some people think it's a lot easier to make videos now that you can just use a microphone on your camera a microphone and camera on your phone, and you can just start recording that way. But it's a little bit harder when you're doing science or engineering videos because there's a lot of research that goes into it. And for us, we also build things. So we're trying to show more of the behind-the-scenes building part, too, and all the failures that go along the way. So it's a pretty long process for any of our videos.
So give us an idea of how much time goes into producing a typical video for you.
The ones that are project oriented usually take a couple of months. Like we just sent up a weather balloon that captured the total solar eclipse, and that was probably a 9 to 10 month project.
Wow.
For us.
Wow. The other thing I'd like to know is what would be the one video I was going to suggest somebody to check out your channel? What's one video you think might grab people's attention?
I think a lot of people say one of their favorite videos is our encoder video. So it teaches you how motors know where they are, and it gives you a hands-on project. And we have a Hackster.io account, so you can 3D print the parts that we're giving you, and you can actually build the project yourself.
Now, one of the things with YouTube, of course, is the famous comments below. Have you ever had any good or really bad experiences with that?
We've had a few bad ones and we just block those people, but we're a smaller channel, so the comments are actually my favorite part. We got a comment today, actually, right before we started talking, where someone said, "Your visual at, you know, this timestamp made me understand what derivatives were." And we had another teacher send us a message and say, "Because of this video, our students watched it and they created their own hands-on projects in our classrooms and they just did a whole day of investigating." And that's pretty much what keeps me going on my channel, is comments like those. So I actually love our comment section.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's really rewarding. Okay, going into the future, what are some like projects you have planned for next, some videos you want to do? And like, what would be your dream project if you could do anything and we could give you a really big budget to do it? What would you like to do?
So the next project we're working on, we just released kind of a vlog video about it. It's our first vlog we've ever done. But we want people to help us with this one. We're asking the question, can an astronaut burp? So we're building like a burp chamber, and we're going to drop it from like 100 feet and show you with sensors like the answer to that question. So that's our next project we're working on. And then our absolute dream project would be I want to do the tour of the electromagnetic spectrum, because that's how we see the universe. Before gravitational waves were detected, everything we see is just from the electromagnetic spectrum. So I'd love to explain each of the wavelengths and what kind of information we get from it and tell people that that's how we explore our universe.
Jacqueline Duff, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Next, we talk to Jade Tan Holmes. Her Up and Atom channel is a fun look at the physics, math, and computer science world. She went to university in Australia and discovered that the lab just wasn't her thing. But making science videos definitely is. Welcome to Blue Dot.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I really enjoyed a lot of your videos, and I want to talk about one in particular in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to know, what first got you interested in science and math? When did you first catch the bug of your interest in nature?
So it's actually a pretty unusual story. When I was a kid and younger, I had pretty much no interest in science at all. In high school, I dropped it as soon as I could, and I actually have no recollection of science in high school whatsoever. And then when I was around 20, I wanted to enroll in university, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I just randomly chose marine biology, and it was a really random choice. Like, I wish I could go back and ask what 20-year-old Jade was thinking. But I really liked it. Like, I really liked biology and I found it really interesting. And in our very first year, we had to do chemistry and physics as well, just so we could get, like, you know, a well-rounded kind of scientific background. And I really liked physics. And it was this one subject in particular called physical aspects of nature. So it was like the physics of nature and biology, which I really liked. And yeah, after doing that subject, I changed to a physics degree.
And what part of Australia did you grow up in?
Sydney.
Ah, and where did you go to school?
The University of Technology, Sydney.
And is there anything that you could maybe tell us about differences that you've noticed between university in Australia versus the United States?
Education? I haven't been to university in the United States.
What drew you specifically to physics? What made you interested in the physical sciences?
I think because I thought it was so fundamental. Like, I feel like other things and other sciences, they seem kind of arbitrary, if you know what I mean. Like, for example, how biology and DNA works, and it's really interesting, but it just seems like random stuff is happening, if you know what I mean. Whereas with physics, I feel like you're given these set of rules and axioms, and you can just derive everything from there. And I think that's really amazing, and that's what really drew me to it.
And when did you decide to kind of turn your attention towards science communication?
It was a pretty recent decision, I think around a year ago. So during university, I'd always thought I wanted to do research because I really liked university and I liked the environment. And I kind of was thinking in my final year, like, oh, it could be fun to start a YouTube channel kind of on the side. But then when my degree finished, I actually did do a research internship, and I just didn't really like it. It just wasn't for me. I didn't like the environment, and I didn't like, I guess I also just didn't really like what I was working on at the time. So, then I decided that I would try and do this YouTube thing.
It's interesting because I've heard that same kind of story now several times from science communicators that have been on our program, that research, they just found it really wasn't their thing. And then science communication as an avenue opens up. And what do you like about doing that?
I really like that you get to learn a broad range of different things. So I really like going deep into subjects as well. But I think it's really nice that you get to choose what you work on kind of week to week or month to month. I really like that aspect of it.
So you're not pigeonholed into just one thing that's all you do day after day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're listening to Blue Dot. I'm Dave Shlom. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Jade Tan Holmes of the YouTube channel Up and Atom. And we'll finish the show chatting with the roving naturalist, Cheryl Hosler. Stay with us. And we're back on Blue Dot. Let's resume my conversation with the YouTube channel Up and Atoms creator, Jade Tan Holmes. Let's talk about some of your videos. I really enjoyed the one you did on mathematics, and I forget the title of it, but the essence of it.
Math, when are you going to use it?
Yeah, when are you going to use it? Because you hear kids say that all the time. When am I ever going to use this stuff, algebra?
I remember in high school, that was a very popular phrase.
Tell me about that video, because I love that one.
Yeah, I mean, even I used to say that in high school. And in high school, it's just not very apparent when you're going to use mathematics. And I feel like even though the teachers, even if they do a great job of teaching the actual math, they don't make it very relevant, especially not to a high school teacher. There was this collaboration with a group of YouTubers that I know called We Create EDU, and they were doing this giant channel like collaboration about education, and that was the topic, just education. And I just thought I would like to do a video about why math is a good skill to have rather than the reason that you're learning each specific topic, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just a good skill to like be, I don't know, like I feel like when I tell a lot of people I have a physics and math YouTube channel, that they're a very common response is, I was always terrible at math. And I find it funny that that's so accepted. Like so many people say that, but no one would ever say something like, oh, I don't know how to read, like as if it's fine, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And what do you think about the kind of the current state of science communication, especially with YouTube?
I think that there's a lot of really great communicators out there. I think the main problem, I suppose, is that I'm sure you probably know this, but educational videos on YouTube are one of the lowest viewed. I mean, there's like higher viewed ones like beauty and entertainment and gaming. And I think that's kind of disappointing, but I don't necessarily know if it's because of the science communicators themselves. But I think it's getting much better. Like so I started watching educational YouTube videos around 4 years ago when I first started my degree. And there's so much more now than just 4 years ago. So I think it's getting much better.
Who are some of your favorite YouTube science communicators?
I'd have to say, I think it's probably a tie between Vsauce and Veritasium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely, I really like how they take really interesting little things and kind of make it into this overall big picture about how the world is, like a big statement about the world, basically, from a very small thing. I like that. I aspire to do that.
Yes, Vsauce and Veritasium are two really cool channels. For our listeners who aren't familiar with them, give me a 10-second pitch on each one of them. What are they like?
Okay, I'll start with Vsauce, I guess. So he, I don't know how, he finds the most interesting information. Like he takes a topic that you would think, oh, like that could be cool. And then you'll watch the video and they'll just be like five things that are just like blow your mind. And you're just like, how did he even find that information? And he's really kind of, I guess, theatrical and quirky and fun to watch. And Veritasium also does really interesting topics like just things you wouldn't think of, like what's the roundest object in the world, I think is one of his most viewed videos. And that's really just, I mean, you know, you just wouldn't think of that. But then when you see the video, it's like, oh, what is the roundest video in the world? Yeah, so I think that's really cool. So I guess that would be them in a short amount of time.
Derek Muller is a good friend of this program, so I'm rather fond of him too. We're about out of time, but real quick, what's up next for you? What's something you got planned in the future?
At the moment, I'm working on a video about machine learning. So I've decided to kind of expand my channel into computer science as well, because a few reasons. My husband is a computer scientist, so it's kind of like I can get pretty good information. But also I feel like machine learning is really coming up now with the takeoffs in deep learning, and I feel like that's important for people to know about, I think. So yeah, there's going to be some machine learning stuff coming up. I guess that's next on my agenda.
Well, Jade Tan Holmes, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and best of luck with your YouTube channel and your science communication in the future, and hope you come back to join us on the program.
Thank you. It's been lovely to be here.
And we're talking to Cheryl Hostler. She is the YouTube content provider for the channel, The Roving Naturalist. Cheryl, welcome to Blue Dot.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'd like to start by finding out, how did you first get interested in nature and science?
I don't know that I really had a choice. My whole family has always been really interested in nature and the outdoors. So I spent most of my childhood outside playing, going on hikes, things like that.
So what's your specific content interests in science and nature?
So as a researcher, I'm currently a biology grad student at Northern Illinois University. I'm studying restoration ecology and focusing on insects. But as far as my channel goes, I like to explore lots of different sides of ecology and green living.
And one of the things I've enjoyed about your channel is it really does reach out to people about, like, it's really good for your mental health to get out in nature, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah, I always feel calmer and happier when I've spent time outside. I sometimes think that I sleep better in a tent than I do in my own bed.
And when did you begin your YouTube channel?
So this channel, The Roving Naturalist, went live in August, just before the total solar eclipse that happened over North America. This is not my first YouTube channel, though. I actually experimented with another one, which there's a steep learning curve to making videos. So that one maybe wasn't my best work, but I learned a lot doing that. And so that's why I think The Roving Naturalist has been so successful so far. I've been using a lot of the lessons I learned with the first channel to make this one better.
What are some misconceptions you think people have about making an effective science video, or any video for YouTube? How difficult really is it?
So I thought it was as easy as just turning on a camera, standing in front of it and talking. But that is not nearly enough. Talking to a camera is very different than talking to a real person. So you sort of have to get over that and bring your personality out when you're talking to the camera, because you'll sort of become very stiff without a lot of practice. So that I think is really, really important, is making sure that your personality is coming through and reading really well. It's similar on radio, I guess, because you can't see our faces now. So everything we say has to be expressive in our voices.
That's true. Do you have some content providers on YouTube that are ones that you particularly admire?
Yeah, I am a big fan of the folks that run some of the channels for PBS Digital Studios. Dr. Joe Hansen, Vanessa Hill, Physics Girl, all of their channels are really great. They're funny videos. They're really engaging. They come up with great topics. And I've met those people and spoken to them at VidCon, the YouTube conference. And they're great people, and they're very smart, and they have a lot of awesome ideas. So yeah, those are the people I look up to in the video world.
And I'm just curious, is the culture of YouTubers, especially people like that, that are very successful, Joe Hansen and Diana Cowern come to mind as, they've got just tremendously popular channels. Are they encouraging and helpful to people who are just starting out?
Yes. I think that's my favorite thing of being on the education side of YouTube, is that even our celebrities don't act like celebrities. And yeah, they are excited to come and talk to us. They made time in their schedules to be on the floor and speaking with normal people, as it were, all of us aspiring creators who have far fewer subscribers, but the same amount of passion and drive. And we didn't just talk about YouTube. We talked about science, and we talked about all kinds of big ideas. And I think that was really nice. It's this fostering atmosphere. They are so interested in quality educational content and reaching the people who are consuming YouTube content that they are, excited about more quality content being created. I don't think they see us as competition.
Well, that's what I enjoy talking to up and coming YouTube stars like yourself. Is there anything that you could point to, a specific thing that maybe you learned from them, something that inspired you?
I think so. Dr. Joe Hansen, I think he does a really good job of sort of thinking about his personal branding and how he presents himself. And we had a really interesting discussion this past June at VidCon about how he wants to make sure that people are respecting what he says and listening to it and learning from it, not because it's him or because he has that title doctor before his name, but because it's quality stuff. And so I thought that was a really good piece of information for me to sort of chew on, is how do we earn the respect and earn the believing of the people who are consuming our content, rather than just saying, well, I'm a scientist and that should be enough for you.
And I love the title of his channel. It's okay to be smart.
Exactly.
Any interesting projects you got coming up for the future? What would be your, like, your dream project? If I could throw money at you, which I can't, but if I could, what would you do?
Yeah. So I actually have a few things in the works. I just got off Skype with a friend who has a history channel, and he and I are going to be doing a few videos coming up this spring where he talks about the historical side of a topic or a person, and I talk about sort of the environmental or biological side of that. So those are some cool collaborations that are coming up. And I also, once my channel is a little bigger, I'd really love to tackle the idea of nuclear power generation for environmentalists. My husband is a nuclear engineer at a national lab, and so I've learned a lot about how nuclear power works and how it can be improved with advances in technology and research. And I think that a lot of people in the green community are maybe still a little nervous about the idea of nuclear, so I want to do some videos where I sort of explore the potentials that nuclear has to be a green source of power.
And for real quick, what would be a video you would recommend for somebody new to your channel to first check out?
If you are new to The Roving Naturalist, you could definitely start with What Environmental Education Means to Me. It's about a 9-minute video where I go through talking about all of my experiences with environmental education, both as a student and then as a teacher. It's sort of my how I got to where I am story. So I think that's a good place to start. But you should also check out the Explain Yourself series of videos, especially people who are wondering if they want to become scientists or wondering about going to grad school for science. The Explain Yourself videos are interviews with other grad students. So it's not just me talking, and we get to hear a lot of very diverse perspectives.
Cheryl Hostler, The Roving Naturalist on YouTube. Thanks to our science communicator guests, Jacqueline Duff, Jade Tan Holmes, and Cheryl Hostler. I have a feeling we'll be hearing from them again in the near future. Blue Dot is a production of North State Public Radio. You can listen to this and past episodes on mynspr.org or subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast groove on so you never miss an episode. Our communications coordinator is Casey Gardner. Follow us on Twitter at NSPRNews or me at Dave Schlum. Our theme music is composed by Matt Schultz, and our engineer is the man on the board, Nolan Ford. For all of us here, I remind you there that from deep space, we all live on a pale blue dot.